So I'm in charge of Bible study training this summer, and I think something that we've done is usually we just jump in and we start studying the Bible, which is a great thing. And what we're going to do during this time, it'll be on Tuesday nights, is we're going to teach you tools on how to actually study the Bible, not just randomly open to a passage and read it, but really study it, see what God is trying to say through the scriptures. But I think for me, I think for all of us, a question that we need to answer is, why do we trust the scripture as the word of God? So even before we start studying it, we need to answer the question for ourselves, why as Christians do we study the word of God? How do we know it's the word of God? And that's something we're just going to be going through tonight. We're going to be going through, why do we trust scripture as the word of God, as well as why do we study it as Christians? So I think, just putting a disclaimer on tonight, I think a lot of the stuff that I'll be saying is stuff that you probably haven't heard before. Maybe you have, maybe you've heard all of this stuff. I don't know. I know this is something that I've recently started to study, really started to get a grasp on. So if you guys hear something and it's confusing, or if you guys hear it and you're like, I don't really get that, I think that's okay. Know that it's okay. Know that you're not the only one in here. And I think it could be a really good thing. Because once again, what you guys are going to learn this summer, I don't want you guys just to listen to what the staff have to say and just take it for what it is and not really think about it for yourself. I think it's going to be really important for all you guys to wrestle with the scriptures, wrestle with what we're talking about, and not just say, you know, Daniel said it, or Wamba said it, or Jeremy said it, but know that this is something, what we're trying to do this summer as staff is say, this is what God has ordained, this is what God has said, but really you guys need to figure it out for yourself. And I think that's why the scheduled time that you guys just did is going to be really important. Please use that time, ask questions, right? Ask questions. If you don't understand something, that's okay. The Bible is really confusing. I think Peter even says, Paul's kind of hard to understand, right? Peter, who wrote two books of the Bible, says another writer of the Bible is kind of hard to understand. So it's okay. It's okay if things are confusing. So please ask questions. Please ask the staff. The staff's leaving in about 3 weeks. Please use us as a resource while we're here. We'll be back at the end of the summer too. But going into how can we trust that the Bible is the word of God? I say the Bible can't be proved as the word of God historically. It has to be something done theologically, right? The Bible can't be proved historically that God actually, it is the word of God. I can't prove that to you. I can't show that to you. It has to be something like us becoming a Christian. I can't prove to you, you can't see me becoming a Christian, right? I became a Christian a number of years ago. But it is a work of the Holy Spirit that has convinced me and assured me that I love Jesus and I'll be with God at the end of the day. So the Bible is something that has to be the Holy Spirit convicting you. It has to be the Holy Spirit telling you that this is true. If you want to look at that first worksheet, it says, what is the Bible? I'm not going to go through all these worksheets. These are really just for your reference, right? These are going to be for you guys to study maybe at a later time. We're not going to have time tonight, but this has the Bible broken down, Old Testament, New Testament, the different categories in each, and all the books listed in order. So I would hope that you guys would use this as a guide, because 66 books is a lot of books. But when we're talking about the scriptures, this is what we're talking about. These 66 books that I believe are divinely inspired. So first, for us, there's been two major trains of thought about how the scripture was formed. One of the trains of thought is that the church, that people have decided what the Bible is, right? And the other train of thought is that the Bible is the word of God, and the Bible has shaped and transformed what we are as Christians, but also what the church is as well. Does that make sense? There's two trains of thought. Either people have decided what the Bible is, or the Bible has decided what the church is. I think what all the staff believe on campus outreach, but what I believe to be true, is that the Bible has shaped Christianity and the Bible has shaped what the church is. Because it makes no sense that the church would decide what scripture is, right? Because they would no longer be the divine word of God. It would only be people deciding. There's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a pastor in the 1800s. And someone came up to him and he said, "Pastor Spurgeon, how do you defend the Bible?" And his answer was, "Defend the Bible? I will sooner defend a lion, unleash it, and it will defend itself." So basically saying, the Bible doesn't need us to defend it. The Bible is perfectly capable of defending itself because it is the Word of God. And for us, at the end of the day, the only way that you guys will be convinced that the Bible is the Word of God is if you read it, savor it, chew on it, and know it for yourself. So for example, I know I've talked about this burger place, The Front Porch, a couple times, but I can tell you The Front Porch has the best burger in Panama City. Right? You might even believe me. You might say, yeah, I trust Daniel's taste in food. It is the best burger. But you won't be convinced of it. You won't actually know that it is the best burger until you've tasted it for yourself. In that same way, for us in Scripture, until you have read it, until you have interacted with it, until the Spirit has started to change you and pierces your heart as you read it, you won't be convinced that it is the Word of God. But I think what we're trying to do tonight is that I think there is a lot of historical evidence. There is a lot of stuff that the Bible does to defend itself, and that's what we're going to go over. So once again, I want you guys to take what we're about to talk about and really chew on it and know it. But at the end of the day, if nothing else, I want you guys to read the Bible for yourselves and see that if it is true. So first, what are some reasons we can trust the truth of Scripture? Well, first, the Bible is self-authenticating, right? The Bible claims to be the Word of God. So if you go to that second worksheet, I made a short list. This isn't even the extensive list by any means. This is a short list. Here are 10 different verses where the Scripture is calling itself Scripture, or calling itself the Word of God. We're not going to go over all these verses. This is something you can do on your own time. But the Bible is self-authenticating. It claims to be the Word of God. Also, we see in the Old Testament that over 3,000 times it says, "Thus says the Lord." Right? So even as these writers of the Old Testament are writing the different books of the Old Testament, they're not even claiming these are my words. They're saying these are God's words, right? The Bible claims to be the Word of God. Next, if you go to that next sheet, the Bible authenticates itself because of its prophecies. There's thousands and thousands of prophecies that were made in the Old Testament. And there was over 300 made about Jesus in the Old Testament. Here's just a list of 12. Here are 12 prophecies made in the Old Testament that came true in the New Testament. And there's over 300 of these. You can look them all up. I think there's like, you can read like one a day for a year or something like that. But to me, all of these prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament came true, has come true in the New Testament, right? That thousands of years, hundreds and thousands of years, not 100,000 years, but hundreds and thousands of years before Jesus was on earth, these prophecies were made, and all these prophecies came true in the New Testament, right? The Bible, the Scriptures, authenticate themselves. Next, there's a divine quality of Scripture. The Bible's books bear the imprint of the Spirit of God, right? There's, if you've read it before, if you read Old Testament, New Testament, there's incredible beauty and harmony in the Bible. The Bible was written over 1,500 years. There's 40 authors. There's 3 languages. And yet, it's all about Jesus. You can see the tone of Christ all through the Bible. That you would think over 1,500 years, written by 40 authors in 3 different languages, you would have some kind of disunity. But if you read the Bible in light of this is about Christ's story coming to redeem man back to the glory of God, it has incredible unity, incredible harmony. Because I know even for me, like, I'll read through different passages in the New Testament, and I'll come across something, and it'll just be like, this is crazy. Like, all this stuff connects from Old Testament to New Testament, even New Testament to New Testament. It's crazy how much unity it is. Next, the Bible has resulted from apostolic origins. So an apostle is just a messenger of God, right? So we're in here, if you are a Christian, you are an apostle, right? You have been transformed and changed by the gospel, and we carry the gospel, and we are messengers to have it shared. But what I'm talking about here, that's a little apostle, a lowercase apostle. But these have big A apostle, apostolic origins. The big A apostles are the ones who actually were discipled by Jesus, that knew Jesus, that walked with Jesus, that lived with Jesus, that heard Jesus, right? The apostles are the ones who wrote the New Testament. So one, we know that it's true because the apostles, a lot of times, are just quoting Jesus, right? These are Jesus's words. And secondly, if you go to that next worksheet, here's a short list of times that these apostles are referencing their own letters as scripture, right? The apostles, when they were writing these letters, they knew, I'm writing the word of God. This is scripture, right? So if you see that word canonical, the canon is just referencing the collection of books that we say is scripture, right? So when, if you ever hear a pastor or anything say canon, it's referencing the 66 books of the Bible. But the one I want to hit on here is this last one, that if you read through these verses, it refers to the public reading of these works and claims to be the authority, right? So back in the time, right after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Jews would read different books in their synagogues during their services. What kind of books were they reading? They were reading scripture, what scripture is. So when the apostles are saying, read this along with the other scriptures, what is it saying about their letters? It's saying that this is scripture, right? Read this as scripture. Next, there's incredible reception by the community of believers after Jesus' death and resurrection. So these are the church fathers. If you go to that next worksheet, I know this is a lot of stuff. So Clement or Ignatius or Polycarp, right? It's not a Pokemon, but the man. I took a seminary class, and every time it was Polycarp, I was like, but these are church fathers who referenced and were changed by scripture right after they were written. These church fathers were saying, this is scripture, right? They weren't deciding it was scripture, but they knew it was scripture and were reading it as scripture. And it wasn't like they were deciding it, but the scripture was molding even the early church from its very, very beginning. And I think this is important because who's heard about the Council of Nicaea in here? So the Council of Nicaea was a council where Constantine gathered 400 bishops from around the Roman Empire, and they talked about different issues in theology that were going on in the time. And one of those issues were, what is the canon? What is the Bible? And they decided that 66 books, that is our Bible. And if you talk to a lot of people, whether it's secular history or even Christian history, a lot of people will say the Bible was formed at the Council of Nicaea. But the truth of the matter is, that's not correct, right? Those 400 bishops did not decide what the Bible was. The reason that this worksheet is important, that we have a list of these church fathers well before, 300 years before, two to 300 years before the Council of Nicaea, they were saying, this is scripture. It is defining the church, that the church has been defined by this scripture, the same scripture that we use today, for 250 years before the Council of Nicaea. Does that make sense? And if you look, you can just quickly glance at these worksheets. There's a lot of references in a lot of these letters of these church fathers. In that last page are different codexes, and what a codex is basically a book, right? And you'll see that some of these canons or these codexes include basically all the current Bible that we have. Next, we can trust the Bible because there's incredible preservation of the Bible, right? The Bible has been preserved accurately over thousands of years. If you look at that next worksheet, here's a list of different copies of historical texts that we have, right? So some of these, Plato, Caesar, Aristotle, Homer, these are things you might have read or at least have heard about. These are things that they teach you at school that they say these are historically accurate that we have. And yet look at the New Testament. We have 5,600 copies, 5,000 more copies than these texts. They were copied down less than 100 years after being written, and there's almost 100% accuracy. And what they found with the discrepancies with these accuracies is mostly just grammatical, right? They looked at the copies over time, over thousands of years, and say, there's no difference in terms of what the meaning is behind the text. It might be you missed a comma here, or this is using a period here instead of, you know, something else. And also the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dead Sea Scrolls were a number of scrolls that included every text of the Old Testament. It was, I think, 1946 or 1947, near the Dead Sea. And some of these copies were as early as between, I know it's a large number, between 100 and 600 BC, right? These texts are from that old. And they compared those texts of the Old Testament to the Old Testament that we have today, 99.9% the same. The only things were grammar, basically. That there's incredible preservation of the Bible that we've had over the past 2,000 years. I really trust that, once again, that the Bible is the Word of God, and I really trust and I really believe that God preserves His Word. All right, so three reasons that we should not be surprised. Three reasons that we shouldn't be surprised that there have been some disagreements about what is Scripture. First, the Scriptures warn of false teachings, right? That the Scriptures say, make sure you know what is Scripture, right? So it makes sense that there's some disagreements over time about which Scripture is actually the Word of God. Secondly, there's spiritual forces at work opposing the church and the Bible, which shapes the church, right? So it would, once again, makes sense that the enemies of God are trying to confuse people to say what is Scripture and what is not. Third, there is sin in the world, and disunity results because of sin, right? Sin breaks things, right? And causes arguments. So it would be more surprising if there was no arguments over the past 2,000 years. So I would say it's okay that there are some arguments, but I really trust that the 66 books that we have are the Word of God. And lastly, I think one of the most convincing arguments for me is that God chose to deliver His Word through normal human channels, right? I think that's a lot of the things that maybe we get hung up on. But I think the cool thing is, how did God go about our salvation? God went through a man, right? God used Jesus, who was fully divine, yes, but also fully human. He used a human to bring about His salvation. Would it not also make sense that He would bring His Word through human channels as well? But once again, I really hope this stuff is convincing, that historically it is convincing. But once again, I don't believe I can convince you that the Bible is the word of God. I don't believe that these worksheets can. I don't believe that someone can say something that will convince you. I really think the only thing that will convince you that the Bible is the word of God is the Bible itself, right? If we really believe that the Bible is truth and it defines and discerns all other truth, we must go to the source. So I would really encourage you, I would really push you, man, really take this summer, use this summer to search the word, to read the Bible and see, man, this is the word of God, that this is true, that this is transforming. But kind of wrapping up, we're going to talk about why do we study it, okay? Why are we going to have a night of the week to learn how to study the Bible? If you guys want to turn to me with me to 2 Timothy 3:16, we're going to read this verse. This is kind of our theme verse for Bible study training this summer. Can I get someone to read it for me who's flipped to it? Yeah. Sorry, in 17.
That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Thank you. Yeah, so once again, the ultimate purpose of us existing, of anything, is that by the Spirit, through Jesus, we would glorify the Father. All right, always remember that we live, we exist to worship and bring glory to God. All right? But we see that the scripture is good. It says for four things. One, it says, once again, that the scripture is breathed out by God, right? This is God's words. These aren't Timothy's words. These are God's words. And it says it's good for teaching, right? It's good for us to learn about God, to know who God is. And once again, reminding you, I heard this quote once and I love it. It says, theology that does not lead to doxology is idolatry. So what does that mean? Theology, meaning the knowledge of God. Doxology, meaning the worship of God, leads to idolatry, which means the worship of something else that's not God, right? I know for me, I love to learn. I love knowledge. I'm a nerd in a lot of senses. I just like to learn. But theology, your knowledge of God, if that does not bring you to a state of worship of God, you are idolizing theology. You're idolizing your knowledge, right? We need to be careful of that, right? The Bible, once again, is meant for us to know God. It's for us to worship God. Secondly, it's for reproof. What does that mean? It means it convicts us of our sin and it pierces our souls. That reading the scripture lets us know that we are sinners and we are in need of a savior. And the scripture always also corrects. The scripture restores us. It restores us back to God and renews and it transforms us, right? The scriptures let us know we're sinners. We are separated from God. We don't deserve the grace of God. We don't deserve anything from God. But it also corrects. It says Jesus comes down, lives a perfect life for you. He dies a death because the death that we were supposed to die and gives us his righteousness in his life that we shouldn't get, but we do, to live a life serving him, right? So it trains us in righteousness that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work, right? The good works don't save us. The gospel does. Jesus does. But the Bible lets us know this whole thing of what's going on, that we are sinners, that Jesus came down, lived a perfect life. He died for us. He rose for us. And that we follow him, and that after we become a Christian, that we are shaped and we become more like Christ, right? That's why we're studying the Bible this year, because the Bible is always going to revolve around this. I think if you read the Bible kind of disunified, it's going to be really confusing. But if you read the Bible through this lens, maybe not every word, like if you can't just take out a word and, you know, extract this out of it, but if you look at every theme of the Bible, if you look at every, as the Bible as a whole, the whole thing is talking about this, that we are sinners, that Jesus has died and he's rose, and that one day we'll be with God to glorify him, that it's all about God's glory. So just remember this, I really would hope that every night you would hear about Jesus, you would hear about the gospel. That's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. I think Taylor mentioned it last night. Maybe it was two nights ago, man. That if the Bible is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus.